Hey there, hi there, ho there, and welcome back to the Roadside Couch Podcast. My name's Drew Cheek, and I'll be telling you all about a video game that I enjoy playing. Now, I said in the previous podcast that I was going to be talking about all sorts of different things, but the way I've wound up going, being a solo guy on these podcasts, is I'm going to be talking about games that I really enjoy. All of them, for the most part, are going to be single payment situations where you either have to buy the game or you get the game for free. Don't have any pressure to purchase in-game content. However, the game I'll be discussing today, Bit Heroes, does in fact have in-game content that can be purchased with real people dollars. But like I said, I'll get into it and why you can free to play this one. So like I said, this game is called Bit Heroes. You can play it either through Steam or as well, it is a mobile phone game. I initially got it last December, not the one we just had, but back in 2017, and I play it almost every day. Like, it is my go-to game. It's the only gaming app I have on my phone, and I actually have a secondary account on my Steam because I just enjoy it that much. In the game, you can choose to set it to auto, in which the game essentially plays itself for you, or you can choose to play it hand to hand. There are all sorts of things you do, but the best way for me to describe it would be to begin as though you're a starting player. You arrive in the main, I would guess I'd call it the town. It has an assortment of different buildings that you can see, but you aren't able to go into any of them save for one, which is the Guild Hall, and we'll get into that a little further into the podcast. But you arrive and you're just a normal looking guy, and the game itself has NPCs that'll walk you through what it is you're trying to do, the goal of the game, and there is no one set thing you're trying to accomplish. It's mostly a community game in which you join guilds, make friends, and kind of interact through those portals and venues. You begin with having only access to the quest, which is the most basic form of the game. In the quest, you are offered a map in which you can only go to one specific place where you your character fights through a dungeon. It's a dungeon crawler game that has randomly generated maps and randomly generated mobs. There are an assortment of three basic mob types per dungeon and one boss at the very end. As you play through a quest, you have 3 to 4 smaller stops in which you are meeting each of the smaller mobs you'll fight per large dungeon where you would go to fight the boss. And once you get to the large dungeon with the boss, you can choose to play through that on easy, medium, and hard mode. And the hard mode provides the most loot, experience, and potential for bonus items. These bosses and mobs, when you finally get to the position to where you can fight higher leveled ones, you'll be provided the opportunity to capture them as familiars. Familiars are what you use to combat with you when you are going through these preliminary dungeons before you get to boss dungeons. In boss dungeons, you are offered the opportunity to fight either with your familiars, they're still an option, or you can fight with friends or guildmates, which kind of pushes the social aspect of the game. I know I personally have my max number of friends at any given moment, although I do like to leave one open in the off chance someone friends me or I friend them. When you become a regular player, you'll get into more details like, you know, shaving off people who don't play for like a month, because you want to play with regular players. I know I chat with my friends in the game all the time, and in fact, when we get more into guild talk, I am still in contact with one of the guilds I was previously a part of. But like I said, you begin at the quest map where you fight and try to capture these familiars. You're trying to accrue new items to better prepare your character, and we should probably go into that next. So the layout of a character is that you have one main hand item, one offhand item, a helmet, a chest piece, and all of these are visible to other players in the video game. So, for example, I'll describe the way that my character looks. He has a flaming skull for a helmet, a skeleton armor for his chest piece. For his side hand, he has a number of skulls, and for his main hand, he has a tree branch with also a number of skulls. I like to play my character a little on the necrotic side. It's only because I think skeletons are hip and swanky. And then the other four items that your character has on their person, in this sense, there are more items that you get, but these are the ones that are immediately visible when you open up your main menu. The next are the neck piece and the ring, and each of these are items that affect your overall stats but are not visible on your character. And then an accessory, which it doesn't affect your stats, but it gives you certain bonuses and buffs. So like in my case, it gives me a plus 11% to my deflect chance, which is a chance that the attack that they do to me actually gets doubled back and hits them, kind of a mirror. And an absorb chance that I would take on that damage as health. As well, you can have a pet, which the pet floats above you. It is not like the familiar. You don't capture these, and this is the only instance when the pay-to-play becomes a bit of a hassle, is accessories and pets, because you can only get a hold of them through purchases with gems. The basic currency are coins, but gems are the kind that you can get either from chests, from watching ads if you use a mobile phone. As well, they have an opportunity to gain more gems, and I'll discuss that towards the end of the podcast. But like I said, those are the main eight items that you see on your layout when you pull up the main menu. Other items that you will come across are the basic potions. These either revive, heal, or provide energy to your character and familiars. As well, for consumable items, items that are one-time uses, there are item scrolls, which give you a higher chance of finding items. Potions for gold find, pretty obvious, helps you find more gold. And the same goes for experience tomes, which provide a higher output of experience per dungeon. Now, when you've proceeded further into the quests and move past all of them that are visible on the map, you'll go to a different location. And in the game, they call that tiers. Tier 1, 2, 3, 4, and now, as of last month, all the way up to tier 10. I've been playing since there were only 6, I believe? So it's been kind of cool to get the opportunity to watch as new content is released, both as pets, familiars, new accessories, new aesthetic and accessory items. It's been a really cool opportunity to watch it grow. And like I said, once you get onto the next tier, you'll see new avenues and items open up, as well as new opportunities for gameplay. So one of the most enjoyable parts of the game is the moments where you get to interact with other players. And there's only one location where you get to interact with other players real time, which is the world boss. In the world boss, you can either fight Netherworld or the Orlag clan. They're ogre-looking fellas, whereas the Netherworld is what you would think kind of demonic-looking guys. And in these game modes, you get a chance to fight alongside real-time players. So, like, if you've got a buddy who plays the game with you, you can both get into the same clan fight and go and fight these world bosses together. This uses the same energy that the quest does. And I'll explain further in that there are other ways that you can spend to play certain games. None of it with real-time money, but with in-game currencies. But it uses the same energy that the quest would and provides a similar form of output in coins, experience, and different items, which may provide better legendary and higher quality. And it does. It gives you a chance to play with other people who are also actively playing the game. Another that comes, and that is offered to you, the world bosses are offered to you after you get to tier 3. That's the first opportunity you get to play those. The next is raids. The first time you get to raid, I believe, is also... yeah, it is also at tier 3. And the first raid is Astaroth's Awakening. This is also one of the first opportunities you get to come across legendary items And as you proceed to tier 4 and tier 5 and tier 6, you'll see as well set items and mythic items. And I'll get into that after we clarify each of the different game modes. After raid, there are trials. Trials also go by the name Gauntlet, depending on the week. In trials, I believe that is... let me double check. But yes, in trials, you are fighting through a dungeon, much like the quest, but it is a menagerie of different mobs from different tiers, and it is gauged level-wise based on what you put into it. So you could choose to fight at a really basic level just to get rudimentary items, or you could make the game intense and hard for you to try and get better loot and better items and fight more intense monsters. In Gauntlet, as opposed to Trials, you are paired with folks from your friends list or from your guild, and in a similar way to fighting in the dungeon, instead it goes 10 rounds against sets of 3 different opponents. And Gauntlet can work differently. Sometimes it allows you to play with player characters, sometimes with familiars. And it's a way that you can accrue more items and certain items that you wouldn't be able to get from the world boss or the quest boss. Now, outside of these different game modes is specialty game modes. These modes are maybe a holiday or it's a special event. And as of right now, the current event is the Guild versus Guild. In this, it's exactly what it sounds like. You... 5 folks and then another 5, so 10 in total, fight against another 10 from someone else's guild, and this is all in competition to try and gain items for your guild hall, as well as guild bucks, which you can spend to give your entire guild certain bonuses, such as more room for energy, which you gain over a period of time, or more room for number of shards, which are what you use to go on raids. Shards are the currency for raids, and then tickets are the currency for player versus player, which I'll now get into. Much like GVG, player versus player is the exact same concept, but you are fighting with familiars, and you're fighting against other players and their familiars. It's an opportunity for you to test your strength versus other players, whereas when you're going through the quests or the world boss or the raid, you're really just comparing yourself to the game. PvP also gives you a chance to see where you rank amongst all of the other players. So, in the same sense, Guild versus Guild does player ranking, and I was once previously in a guild called Havoc, and I know there were some guild events where we were like rank 30 something out of, I mean, hundreds of guilds. And it does, it gives you a sense of community, and it, really empowers you. Like, you feel like you're a part of something, especially when you're with a group that does successfully. And so, yes, PvP is player versus player, as you'd expect, and that's the last of the combative events that you can participate in. There is another opportunity for gameplay that was introduced, I want to say back in September, maybe? And it's fishing, which threw me off when I first noticed it, but if you listen to my Animal Crossing, you know that fishing is no stranger to me in a video game. And in the fishing, it's pretty basic. You have a bar that goes from 0 to, I think the basic is 30, and you want to try to get as close to 30 as possible, and then it'll be kind of one of those, I'd compare it to slamming down on a buzzer when you're watching the lights spin around at an arcade. And you're trying to catch the fish, essentially, and the heavier the weight of the fish, which is calculated, I would assume, randomly, gives you a certain rank, and you can gain certain materials and items in that way. So now let's dive into materials. Why is it that we're trying to get all these items? Why do we want it all? Well, your character starts out with nothing. You're dead broke, just showed up, kind of like climbing off a bus out of nowhere with nothing on, you know, just rudimentary items. The most basic is called basic. They're green, and they're just bad. They're not great equipment. And what you can do with equipment that you don't want to use is you can break it down into components and use those components to either upgrade your armor that you already have, your items that you already have, or you can choose to use those to create something new through a form of crafting. It's not quite what you would think if you wanted to compare it to Minecraft or something, in which you have to know the basic building blocks and how to make the schematics of it. Much more basic. They've got it set up for you. All you have to do is click the button, boom, it's there for you. So like I said, that's green is basic, blue is uncommon, red is epic. Those are kind of, they get significantly more rare, would be an epic. And then legendary is the yellow or gold bordered items. And those are the strongest of the basic forms of items. Following that would be set items. Set items are exactly what you would expect. You have to have a certain number of them to gain the abilities that you would get from them. So, for example, I have a single set item at the moment called Moonlight out of 4. And once you get 2 of this set, you get an increase in your absorb chance. Once you get 3, you get full shields after you take 50% of your health down. And at 4, you gain 15% damage reduction while you have shields on. Which is why they motivate you to try and get more set items. Or, like, one of the earliest sets you can get is the Deimos knives. And having both of them, you run a chance of not using your special ability power. So you can do, like, 2 really major attacks back-to-back. And any veteran of the game will tell you that set items are the goal for the game. You want those set items. They're what's going to make the difference. They're what's going to help you get higher levels, better loot, better friends. Like, it's the way to go. You want the nice stuff. Past that is mythic items. Those have a darker red border than the epic red. And these provide the same kinds of buffs that a set item would, but on their own. You don't have to have anything else fancy. So, like, I know one of the most popular is the Necrolite, and I think it gives you 5% absorb chance, and it's a ring. And all you have to have is that, and boom, you get those bonuses. Which is what makes mythics nice. And these kinds of quality items, like I said, you have to use other materials to upgrade them. So, like, to upgrade an epic, you're going to need uncommon and regular materials. To upgrade a legendary, you're going to need epic, uncommon, and legendary materials. And to upgrade mythics, same old, same old. And as you get further into the game, you're going to notice that it's harder to get those materials. You need more, you need more, you need more. Which is what makes it such of a everyday kind of game. Now, for those of you that are easy players, don't want to get too intense, don't want to try too hard, don't worry about it. This is the kind of game where you can hop in for free, like I've said a number of times, don't have to pay anything. And, like, I know I didn't drop any money on it for at least 6 months, and I only dropped money because I was just wanting the cosmetics. I really wanted the cosmetic items. I'm the kind of guy who likes to have my dude dressed up all fancy. I like it that he can ride on a crazy-looking turtle monster. That's cool. I think that's neat. But no pressure to spend money on it. Like, you can get all sorts of wild stuff just by playing for free. And that's something I look for in a video game. I don't want to be hitting those EA walls where I gotta drop major buko bucks on a game that, you know, just doesn't fulfill what I'm looking for. So, well, since we're nearing sort of the end here, I'm going to hit on a couple topics that I haven't quite said. Let's talk about the shop. So at the shop, there are 4 different little tabs with various items. The featured generally has what item that is on sale for the day, 1, 2, or 3 different purchasable items. Like, right now, there's a charity event going on where you drop $10, they give you this really neat armor, a bunch of, like, gems, and just piles of crap. Cosmetic bundle, they provide you the opportunity to change the mount that you ride, which I definitely should have gone into. And mounts provide you similar buffs to pets, but in a different form. So a pet would likely give you, they would either attack or heal your team based on whether or not you get attacked, you take a turn, or a turn is taken by someone on your team. whereas a pet gives you a skill to use. When I talk about going into dungeons and getting better gear, the better gear gives you new attacks, especially main weapons. So, like, if you're using a mage's staff, you can do certain magic-style attacks. Well, a mount offers you, for example, I ride a T-Rex. I'm not even joking, his name is Rex. And he does some, like, 1,000 buko damage if you use his ability. And it takes a little time for it to build up, but it does. It can, like, take out a dude in one hit. And that's one of the reasons why people want to get mounts. And those are not, the kinds that you have to purchase with real people money. You can get a mount without, spending any money on the game. And like I said, cosmetic bundles, I'm the kind of guy that likes them because you get to dress up your dude looking cool. Like, I think the most recent cosmetic I bought was a cowboy hat because sheriff, you know, like, I want to look like a space cowboy. I think that's the dream. But you get, there are sales, sometimes they'll be selling pets for gems, sometimes it'll be, accessories, sometimes they do sell mounts, they're these really fancy legendary ones. I don't spend money on it because it's like 5,000 gems, and the way you can get gems for free is not kind. And then there's a gear tab. Gear, like I said, that's where you can get pets, accessories. Or it also will provide you, at the bottom of the gear tab, you can find regular equipment for your character if you're having a hard time getting a hold of, like, epic equipment, or, you just want something that looks different. You can get boosts, like I had mentioned earlier, there's item scrolls, experience tomes, major gold potions, or, I forgot to mention this, you can get speed boots. Your speed does affect your character, and so sometimes people like for the game to go faster. Like I had mentioned, it goes into auto. Some folks really like their autos to go by quick. And then in the other section, you can get certain bundles to start you off. If you're brand new to the game and you are looking to drop some dinero on it, feel free to get a hold of those homies, because like there's a beginner rune bundle, and we're running a little strapped for time, so I don't want to get you too wild and crazy with it, but runes help you get those bonuses like I mentioned with the accessory, and as do enchants. They're each two different forms of the same kind of concept where you can set them aside on your character, but they're not right up there in your face. It's one of those you kind of got to look through the menu to find. But they do, they give you bonuses, like some of mine give me defensive bonuses, some of them give me attack bonuses, and all of the enchants provide certain stat buffs. So there are three basic stats. There is attack, speed, and health. Nice and basic. You're not having to deal with like D&D-esque, you know, strength, dexterity, constitution, charisma, wisdom, intelligence. I'm talking just 1, 2, 3. You're either talking DPS, speed at which you can hit that DPS, or in my case, because I like to play a tank of a character, I put all of my jubies right into health. I'm talking 1200 health, because I'm the kind of guy that likes to be the bullet eater right in the front. I like to take all that damage so that everyone else can do the DPS. But if you're the kind of guy who you're like, man, I just want to attack everybody, slap all those points into speed. You can go one after the other. And if you get certain buffs like Dual Strike, I'm talking 5-10 attacks in a row, and I'm just sitting here in the front taking all those bullets while you do all the DPS. And that's what's so neat about the game. And they also provide you opportunities to, like, change it up, you know? You ain't gotta play the same dude the entire time. Change him up. I know I started out as a DPS guy. I was like, man, I really just wanna attack stuff. And then one day I was like, nope, I don't wanna do it anymore. I just wanna be the guy who takes the bullet. And so that's what I did. I just changed up my dude again, and there it was. Whole new character. One of the last things I want to mention is guilds and community. It's a chance for you to make friends, play a video game with folks you wouldn't normally. Like, I know I was a part of a guild with, they were a German guild. Like, I couldn't understand a word of what they said in our guild chat, but sure as hell, they were all German. It was a German guild, and they had just added me in because I had the right stats. At another point, I was adopted into a Spanish-speaking guild. I understood what they had to say significantly more than the German guild, but It is. It's a kind of a melting pot of a video game, you know? And since it's all text speak, you don't have to worry about people saying rude things. And it is. It's a community. You get to make new friends. Like, I know one of my old guild leaders from, like, when I first started playing is still friends with me. His name was Falcon Pants. Falcon Pants. Like a bird wearing pants. And I just thought that name was hilarious, and he was super kind to me. And the guild wasn't great, but it was an opportunity. It was a foot in the door, and it was a chance for me to kind of see what it was like to be in a guild. And one of the perks is that you get to play with higher level characters that can help you progress further into the game, but as well, there's a special guild shop, and you accrue guild points just by playing, and you can spend those points on accessories, a pet. If you don't like spending money, a guild's the best way to get a pet or an accessory. Or you can get stuff like experience tomes and all of those. And as well, there's a guild hall, and that's kind of a location where you can experience the community of a guild. It changes based on items that you get from the guild versus guild events or the guild raid events, and it's just a neat way for you to experience what I believe World of Warcraft and Star Wars The Old Republic and all of those online big ol' MMORPG games, but much more minimal. It's not a huge map. Everything's very, it's an 8-bit game. It's not intense. The gameplay isn't rough or hard. There's always active players, and there's still new content coming out regularly. Like I just said, there's a brand new cosmetic bundle. We've got a charity event going on right now. And so if you have a little bit of free time and some space on your iPhone, it is a free game. Same goes for Steam, also a free game. And if you're looking for a friend to start you out, please feel free to friend Driuseppe or Fishy Turret. Just type in the name. One of them's got on a skeleton hood and the other one's just regular looking. I think he's riding like a demonic horse or something, or dragon, or I don't know. They both look cool. But if you're interested, please give it a try. And like I said, there is no payment necessary. But if you get the mobile game and you've decided, man, I really want to buy something, but I don't want to drop money, there is an option if you go into complete offers for free gems called Earn Gems, where it's going to be time consuming, but you can go and play a different free game. And if you play for a certain amount of time, it'll give you free gems in the game. I've tested out games like 20 odd times just to get gems on here, and while it can be a little bit time consuming, if you do want a free game that's fun, easy, and also the kind that you can leave for 3 months and walk back to and have very little issue restarting yourself, BitHeroes is the way to go. And if you like listening to 50s, 60s, and 70s music, which has nothing to do with Bit Heroes, please feel free to tune in to Roadside Couch Radio at bakerradio.org. I've been Drew Cheek. Thank you so much for listening in.